we have on the program now a period of questions. And I think it's been a very engaging lesson, and I have some questions myself, but I will defer to others. But Brother Tom will MC this himself. Okay. And call on you for your questions and respond to them. And we do have a roving mic, which I think Samuel will distribute for you. So, Brother Tom?
Everything I know about science, I told you about already. So, any questions? Brother Jim? Jim Parkinson. I don't know if it's for us to exact justice. I think the principle there is that he emphasizes mercy. But he exacts justice when it's for the benefit of those who are being judged or punished. How much do we punish others? I don't know that you can make a general statement that would fit all circumstances. I think individual cases. I think sometimes we think that we have to punish for punishment's sake. I think the only time, for example, if we would disfellowship or do something like that, the only motive would be to help and to bless them, not to punish them. I don't know that punishment or justice is for us to demand of others. Certainly the love and mercy, where it says that God exacts mercy on thousands of generations, but only judgment on three or four, I think shows a proportion to him that he's definitely biased. Maybe that's a wrong word, but my thought is he's overemphasizing the love and mercy side. I don't know if I'm getting to your question. Do you have a comment, Brother Jim? Okay. Anyone else? Yes, Brother Brad.
Are there things that we find in the earth that are part of the creation, but not maybe of God's doing, do you think? Anything that may have possibly been created without authority, without authorization, I should say. And the reason I ask is that there are certain things that are plagues to mankind, like mosquitoes and viruses and different things that are really seem like they're out of keeping with what God may have created. Would you have a thought?
No, I thought about that too. You know, where do mosquitoes come from? Except they are food for bats. You know, it's hard to know. Were they affected by the fall? I would think the animal creation has been affected by the fall to a certain extent. I don't know that others were given the power to create. But maybe they've fallen from their original purpose, is all I can say. That's a very difficult question to answer. I really don't know the answer to that. Yes, Sister Ginny, your thought?
I just haven't heard you so much about global warming. And is God behind this or Satan? Where are we going? Because I saw a program on public television about how the polar bears are in deep trouble because the ice and the snow are melting, and they may go as well as the penguins. So, do you have any opinions on what's happening right now to our world, if it's so wonderfully made?
Well, scientists tell us that global warming is a bad thing, that it's affecting our environment in a very negative way. Maybe some of our scientist brethren can comment on that. I know Richard probably has some thoughts on that. I don't know. It sounds like what scientists are saying is that that's man's abuse of the environment that is creating global warming. And if that's true, I don't know that that can be said it's from God. On the other hand, we know, we believe that the environment in the kingdom, the earthly environment, will be more moderated, or at least that's one thought. Is it because of man's abuse of the environment? I don't think so. I think that God would have to introduce something. Can I call on you, Richard? Have you got a thought on that? If you can.
I can't speak.
Oh, sorry. Brother Jim, do you have a thought?
My thought might be different than what Brother Richard would say if he could speak. But in looking at some of the heat and cold cycles that a fellow named Hal Eddy in Boulder, Colorado has presented, it would seem that in the first century A.D., the climate, the Earth's climate, was warmer than it is now, that the Baltic Sea had a Mediterranean climate. And that's a lot warmer than it is now. So is this somewhat cyclic? If we compare with, say, Europe 300 years ago, it was a whole lot colder. And somebody noticed, well, you know, that's also a period in which they didn't make many mentions of sunspots. And yet we have these sunspot cycles over the past 50, 80 years that have been a whole lot more active in the past. So it's entirely possible that the Lord is almost 100% governing the getting warmer and getting colder, and yet we're not even close to what it was in the first century A.D. Now, I just might mention that by the climate returning towards normal up in the Baltic area, the Lord sort of forced the Germanic tribes to come down at the right time and take over the entire West Roman Empire.
Hmm. Interesting. Oh, Brother Richard?
There's a Herald article on the subject.
There's a Herald article on the
current
subject?
Current Herald.
Oh, Current Herald. Okay. The one coming out or the it hasn't come out yet? It's out. Okay. I wish we knew the answer for sure. Maybe this article can help. Okay. Anyone else? Brother David?
You know, sometimes it happens that when there are differences of opinion, there is evidence forthcoming that is conclusive, if anybody's listening. I find something you said in your talk very much along that line. You talked about one of the scientists, it was Steven Weinberg, that said that if this adjustment were looser than one part in 10 to the 120th power, life could not exist. It seems to me that that kind of fact, if it's commonly agreed upon, is a decisive one. Why doesn't Steven Weinberg believe in God? is there any... How do they answer these things? It seems to me that's, you know... We could compound things of that sort, but that one fact all by itself seems to require an intelligent intervention.
Do you know that he doesn't?
I can't be sure, but I didn't think so. But I'm not sure.
Okay, I'm not sure either. I assumed by that statement that he was making that point, but maybe he wasn't. Maybe he's just making the point that it's precisely tuned and stopped at that. I think a lot of scientists do that. They will make a statement and say it's very precisely tuned, but we don't know why, that nature just was beautiful and just worked out balanced that way. But of course, to us, that's an unreasonable conclusion. To have a precisely tuned instrument and to say it just happened by chance is, I think, preposterous. And to me, it's unscientific. But there are many scientists who will go to that point but stop at the next one. I don't know about Weinberg, though. Yes. Brother Richard?
I'm not sure about that particular scientist, but as a general comment, most scientists do not want to acknowledge the God of Christendom, which is a God of wrath. Hmm. This is why evolution has taken such a great hold among scientists, because the concept of a God of wrath boggles their mind. And so they think that that is the God of the Bible because that's what Christendom tells them. And so they mistakenly believe that God is this terrible God that Christendom is teaching. And so they want to have a concept that rejects that God. And I think that's what's the underlying cause of why most scientists accept evolution.
You know, that might be the illustration that Brother Russell used with the two books of Revelation, the revelation of nature and the revelation of Scripture. They might look at the revelation of nature and see the wonder and beauty of it, but if they don't have the revelation of Scripture correct and they have a misrepresentation of God, then there's a clash there, and so they'll reject it. But when you know the truth and you see that this character balanced with this brilliance, then it's a perfect mesh and you can see the harmony in it. That's a good point, though, Brother Richard. Yes.
Last week's Time magazine, the cover story was God versus Science, and there was a written debate between two scientists, one who was an atheist and one who was a Christian, and the point David mentioned was brought up, that these constants, these physical constants, are so precisely tuned. And the atheist scientist proposed the hypothesis, which is currently discussed, that there may be billions of different universes. So it would not be surprising that there would be one universe in which these constants were perfect for life to exist. So he, as an atheist, feels God is an absurd hypothesis, yet he was willing to hypothesize this equally absurd. I don't know. It was interesting. That was the way he dealt with it.
Well, I think they use the concept in probability, that if you have an infinite number of possibilities, that eventually you'll hit on one. And I don't know probability very well, but that doesn't seem reasonable to me either. It seems like if you have a billion universes, it doesn't mean that one of them has to hit in a perfect balance. It seems like the probability would be everyone would have the same odds of hitting a perfect balance as we have it, and that would make it impossible for every universe, not just because there are so many universes, if you get my drift. I read that article. I found his arguments interesting. I didn't think the Christians was that good, but it was an interesting discussion. And I think at the end, the atheist said, well, if there is some intelligence there, it's probably not the intelligence of any of the religions of the earth as we know it. So in a way, he kind of suggested that there might be some intelligence behind it all. But I think that lends to Richard's point that probably the misunderstanding of true religion is what blocks many scientists from believing in God. Yes, Brother Jim?
Canadian astronomer Hugh Ross, that now is down in San Dimas, notes that also this one chance in 10 to the 120th power, and at the same time there are fewer than 10 to the 80th atoms in the universe. People talk about their string theory, one chance universe out of 10 to the 512th power, but there's only one universe that we can test by the scientific method, so the rest of those are all philosophy, have nothing to do with science. So what are the chances that it could have come about by pure chance? Ross also quotes one fellow who says, the chances of taking just a single living cell, breaking all of the chemical bonds, and expecting them randomly to fall back in place again is 10 to the 10 to the 11th power, far greater than their 10 to the 512. He says, I might mention that Alan Sandage at Caltech is one of those who started out as an unbeliever, but the odds against the universe allowing for intelligent life to sustain itself anywhere, even one place in the universe, are so far remote that he is now a believer, as are some others. And Ross says, I can't completely confirm it, but he says now he knows of no astrophysicist in the entire world who is a complete atheist anymore.
Hmm. You know, that does lend itself to the point that we made earlier about you can look at something that seems so obvious to everyone else, but if you don't have the eye of faith, you know, even when the evidence to me seems so strong and so overwhelming, that if you don't want to believe it, you will find a reason not to believe it. Anyone else? Brother David, said it? Okay. All right. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, Brother Tom. Lovely presentation. Thank you, brethren, for your participation. We're going to close with Brother Ruggiero's choice of hymn 293. The words, again, will be on the screen for you. Hymn 293. At the close of this, we'll ask Brother Tom to close our evening with prayer. We remind you that tomorrow our services start at 9:15 promptly. Your chairman will be Brother Brand. 9:15 morning devotions tomorrow. Hymn 293.
Father, we thank you for the privilege of being here together. We thank you for the wonderful things that we see in creation. The few things that we understand, Father, show such a wonderful glory of thy character. We thank you for your plans and purposes that reveal so much more about your heart. We thank you for the wonderful plan of salvation that we understand and we long for and we pray for, and we can't wait for mankind to be blessed by your kingdom. We ask thy continued blessing on our fellowship and studies together this weekend. May all be done to thy glory and honor. We commit ourselves into thy loving care always, in Jesus' name. Amen.